Blog Talk Radio.
PLM, baby.
Various rappers are so hilarious. Who put the mic down, but y'all ain't qualified to carry this. Your tracks are garbage, your bars are miscellaneous. So throwing your joint at my car was spontaneous.
Nervous on purpose. I love bringing that shit right at you, door to door service. Instantaneous, you would still get your shit bust. Only spontaneous.
All aboard the Spontaneous Express. Nevertheless, always the more. From the pool table to the kitchen floor. Next stop, Z5. Luda.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here shouting you out for your birthday and making this a grand occasion.
Happy birthday, baby. Hope you get many more, many more. May everything you wish for become a reality. And, you know, I just wish you lots of love and thug fashion.
No man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living in us, resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it goes down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shot feet on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
What? I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds and it's dark in my heart and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day, but where are my blue skies? Where is the love and the joy that you promised to tell me it's alright?
I'll be honest with you,
I almost gave up. A power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower.
When I think I'm looking back.
bet I'm gonna be when this is over.
I will be the one to hold you in my arms. I want to welcome you back to life. Back to the one that can make your next chapter your best chapter. Hallelujah.
How can it be that you love the most unlovable part of me? Of me. How could you see? Your life was the only gift I left for me. To be free. It's amazing with you. I win even if I lose. Everything's working for my good for a way.
Come on.
He saved the day.
This is what we've come to do. Say to break every chain, to break every chain. And with another great inspirational remix by DJ Waheed, we are now fully underway. Good evening, everybody. LeVar Evans here with you as Spontaneous Radio Online proudly brings to you this Spontaneous Day celebration that continues on. You know, if you can forgive me for just a minute, that was so inspirational. I always remember Steve Harvey before he went national. He was local here in Chicago. And he began every program every day by saying that this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Glad to be here with you. And I am happy to welcome you all here. And, of course, I am also here with my PLM brother, one and the only, DJ FX. How are you, sir?
I am doing wonderful, bro. I must add on, just like you mentioned with the uplifting message that we have received, thank you to our brother, DJ Waheed, for that uplifting and inspirational mix. And that actually takes me back to here in D.C., WPGC, when we had Donnie Simpson, when he was doing his shows every day. And that's how he would end his shows. And he would end his shows with this song with Lionel Richie in Jesus. Mm. That's the song he would end with. And that's actually what I actually started doing more of in my sets when it came to doing gigs. So, you know, we can always party. We can always have fun. But I'm pretty sure that each and every one of us, we can always take time to definitely give the one up above, you know, our prayers and our joyous voice and our joyful noise, as I'm pretty sure a lot of you have probably heard when it comes to the Southern churches. you know how it goes. You know, it's like you want to give you that joyful noise. You know, you got to clap our hands and stomp our feet. That's how we do it. But speaking of which, when it comes to our prayers, I must first and foremost give prayers to the families of the Atlanta shooting victims that were shot this past Tuesday at three Atlanta area spas. So definitely want to give the prayers out to those families. Unfortunately, I'm pretty sure you've seen in the news. Unfortunately, eight people lost their lives. We understand that six were Asian women and two were Caucasian. So we definitely want to give our thoughts and prayers to those that have lost their lives. And also just want to give thoughts and prayers to all those out here that are still suffering with this pandemic that is still going on in COVID-19, which has begun ever since 2019. Definitely want to give the love and let everybody know that we are still thinking of you. We have not forgotten you, and we will never forget you. Just want to make sure that you still are in our hearts here with the PLM family. All right. But with that, and that's why I must give our thank you and a big shout out to our boss, Ms. Spontaneous, for putting on these kind of shows just to give the world and give all those that are within earshot of what we're doing, you know, the info that goes out there. And as you know, our beautiful boss, Ms. Spontaneous, the female artist who was managed by Tupac Shakur, she's also a three-time Hall of Fame inductee, sold over 352 million of movies, and still selling today. She has also received 9 awards of her accomplishments in the entertainment industry, including a Lifetime Achievement Award. And also within a few years, Ms. Spontaneous will be Dr. Spontaneous with her PhD in Doctor of Business Administration marketing. So yes, 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 she is still continuing her education, just like hopefully a lot of us are, including myself. So we want to definitely give a shout out on that. And as you know, this show is being brought to you by Spontaneous Radio Online, the one-stop shop for all of our PLM shows and events. So please stay updated for all upcoming shows and interviews. All right. But just like we mentioned about the mix that was provided earlier. Now, we all know that with Miss Spontaneous, she knows how to rock out a party. She knows how to get down. But what you don't know, and what actually our 20-plus million viewers may not know, most likely don't know, or did not know, is that our boss, Miss Spontaneous, grew up as a very religious child in the Baptist church, attending every Sunday, including Sunday school. She got baptized as a child and was a member of the Philippian Baptist Church from a baby until she was 17 years old, which is the year of 1982, when her grandmother passed away, the late Margaret Jones. So, yes, Miss Spontaneous, she knows a little bit about the Bible herself, so don't get it twisted. You already know her past, what she's done, but trust me, she still has that connection with the Lord and with Jesus. So we definitely want to, give a shout-out for that. So, again, she knows. She knows. But now, as we all been waiting for, all right, next, I must introduce to you our very special guest, because she has a special connection to our boss, Miss Spontaneous. All right, I'm going to tell you what that is in a second. But not only is she an author, CEO of Vessels of Hope, keynote speaker, and professor, most importantly, she is also our boss, Miss Spontaneous' sister. All right, and without further ado, I introduce to you, to our 20-plus million listeners here listening right now, I introduce to you Dr. Tracy Johnson. How are you?
Welcome.
I'm well. Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. I'm so honored, and I am blessed to be a part of the show today. Thank you so much.
All right.
No problem. No problem. Before we get into it, I definitely want to mention, first and foremost, congratulations on your wedding next month. I definitely want to get that out there to let everybody know that, congratulations. So anybody that is listening that actually has seen her photo, which I'm pretty sure you have, thinking that she is single and probably trying to shoot your shot, nope, can't do it. She's off the market. So, yes, there you go.
Thank you.
Make sure to get that out the way.
Had to make sure.
Welcome, Dr. Johnson. And I know that we're going to get into tonight a topic that is very near and dear to your heart. And I was talking this week with a few people in regard, and to put it out there, Dr. Johnson, as we said, is a published author, and she does have a new book, and I'm going to mention this all throughout the show so that I will make sure that you guys go out and get this book. It is called Journey of Hope, an Everyday Guide for Adults with Dyslexia. And you can either go on Amazon, because I know all of you got Amazon. Now, you have no excuse not to have Amazon. And also, you can go to the website at vesselsofhopevessels.com to get this great book. And I know that it is something in which everyone is, even if it hasn't affected them, they know someone who it has affected. But I guess I want to start off before we get into the book. I was reading up on this topic this week because I was amazed at the fact that there was a figure there that said that there are 3 million cases of dyslexia that is found each year. But it's something that we don't really hear about, because I know that there are other things, especially right now with COVID, that's going on. But even then, before pre-COVID, it was a topic that really I didn't think really should have gotten the media coverage that it should have. And I was talking with FX. I said, the first time I found out about dyslexia as a child was the episode of The Cosby Show when Theo had it.
Exactly.
So
I was going to say, at this point, what can we do to really, because like I said, it's not something that affects like less than, you know, 10,000 people. This is 3 million people. What can we do mm-hmm. to get the word out more in regards to dyslexia and how to, you know, I guess, just make sure that this is something that we're processing and getting out there for certain people that need it, and along with help.
Yes, and that is doing shows like this, you know, sharing it with family, friends, anyone that can have a ear to ear to listen, especially in our education system, because oftentimes, especially in urban areas where most kids go undiagnosed, not diagnosed at all, or they may be overdiagnosed with ADHD, and it could be dyslexia. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes mm-hmm. there's a comorbidity with dyslexia and maybe some other type of learning difference. But, again, it's oftentimes the understanding of it, lack of really understanding of it, lack of education of it. That's why I started Vessels of Hope, really to get the information out to the areas that need it to most. Most times when I'm speaking to the choir of people who already know. My desire is to get it out there for the people who don't know. Like you said, it's a high number. It's more now than 1 in 5 that struggle with dyslexia. But again, it's often undiagnosed and really not understood. A lot of times where people hear, oh, you're dyslexic, that means you read backwards. No, it's impossible for me to read backwards. It's impossible for me to see backwards. That's not mm-hmm. the issue. It is an issue that is developed in our brain, and it is hereditary. Maybe if your grandparent didn't have it, you had an aunt or uncle or someone that had it. It is hereditary. It's passed down through the line. So my father was dyslexic, so that's therefore, i.e., that's me. But oftentimes it's not really talked about, especially in our urban cities where a lot of our kids are undiagnosed most often or not diagnosed at all, or they're just tossed out saying that they're bad, disruptive, all those types of things. They could be just avoiding because it's just really a struggle for them being there.
Okay. And speaking of the struggle, and just like you said, and just like you mentioned, you know, that you had dyslexia and, you know, was able to overcome it. And if you can, walk us through those struggles, the mindset that you had, you know, going through your educational career and just wondering, like, you know, what, you know, why am I, you know, not able to, you know, do the things that others may not have had it? Like, what was your mindset at that time?
For me, I couldn't understand why. I mean, majority of dyslexics are average to above average intelligence, so it's not an intelligence thing. I knew right. I had some type of knowledge of, you know, how to comprehend what was being taught, especially with reading and writing. Dyslexia really affects individuals when they read and write. So, therefore, it was harder for me to read information that my peers were reading on the grade levels that I was supposed to be on. Spelling was absolutely horrendous. And I just couldn't understand why I was struggling so much. So it spiraled down with low self-esteem, depression, thoughts of suicide, all those types of things when I was growing up. I felt like I was isolated. I mean, I had a loving family, but it's still that part of me that I just didn't understand. You know, my sister was fine. My older brother was fine. In fact, he was the one that helped me with my homework and left me there sometimes at night struggling. But I just didn't understand why I could not catch on. I always say dyslexia is not just an academic thing. It affects your whole life. It affects the whole person. It affects the whole child, how they feel about themselves, how they view themselves, all that, those types of things. It really affects, it could affect them emotionally as well.
Okay.
I think you kind of mentioned one part of the treatment, and that is support.
Yes.
For you, where did you find your support, and where did you find your strength with dealing with dyslexia?
As you mentioned, even as a that was my strength. I really, as a young age, I found a love for God. And that's what I believe helped me through the hard times. In fact, I know that's what helped me through the hard times when I was going through depression and low self-esteem and thoughts of suicide. That's what helped me. That's what actually helped me when I was so low at those points where I'm like, what was my purpose in life? That's the only thing that I held on to.
Wow.
Mm. Okay. Okay. And I'm pretty sure, and we will definitely get more into it, but I definitely want to understand the inspiration that you had, just mentioning the book, A Journey of Hope, and said, what was within me? Because as you say, like you were struggling with it, you had the hope and the love, and God put you through it. What said, you know what, I got to get this info out, that it's not being covered enough, that it's not being talked about enough. Like what did you see or what was maybe mentioned to you that said, you know what, I got to get this out, I got to write this book?
Well, actually, I was not identified as being dyslexic until I was out of high school. So
okay.
I struggled all throughout school. So I didn't know what was going on. I was identified as having a learning disability, but they never told my mother what it is. It was just she had a learning disability. She was deficient in this, slow in that, all those type things, but never saying I was dyslexic. If I had that identification younger, at least I would have known that I wasn't dumb or slow or stupid. So when I actually got out of school, I tried to attempt to go to college. At that point, it failed. I was struggling. So honestly, I saw an old episode of that same show you just mentioned. And that's what I'm struggling. I think that's what I have. And I actually, that's when my journey really began. And it was a local organization here called the International Dyslexia Association, which I'm actually a board member now, I connected with them and I was able to get identified. And that's where my journey began. I went and I was able to get a tutor from that list who I'm still connected with today. She's like 80 years old. She's like a second mother to me in my life. And she helped me with a program called Wilson because all students who struggle with dyslexia, we need something called a multisensory learning approach. It's often the umbrella called Borton-Gillingham approach. And it's various programs under that umbrella, but finding the right program for you, for a student or your student or your child is very helpful, but it has to be multisensory. So that's dealing with everything that we can hear, touch, see, all the senses that we can incorporate in learning language or learning spelling, learning words. So she actually worked with me with a program, and I was able to work with that program for about 2 years or so. Then I actually went back to college, and that's where I began to soar. I graduated with my first degree with a 4.0. Then I went on to my second degree. Then I went on to my third. And now I have an honorary doctorate in Christian education. But I've always had a love for learning. I had a thirst for knowledge. But I just could not access it the same way everyone else could.
Inspirational.
I was going to say the fact that, you were able to face this head on and get the degrees and a 4.0. That's not something for folks out there to strive with. I don't know what to tell you. But I did have a question here. Do you feel that the identification and treatment for dyslexia, do you feel that it's gotten better in the last few years, or do you think that it is still the same with some room for improvement?
Depends on where you live, how much money you have, and how much resources you have access to. I can say that. I still hear stories, horror stories, myself and one of my colleagues, Dr. Rachmanda Campbell, that we work together sometimes in Philly with various events. We still hear horror stories about children that are misidentified, struggling, parents are trying to get help, still today. And it's just sad. It's just sad. Either they lack not only the resources and the connections, but, okay, once I'm identified, sometimes tutors cost, I don't know, maybe $100 or more an hour. And if you're struggling with a few kids, how can you get that help that you need for your child?
Right.
So it's a combination of things. It's really a combination of things. And the thing is, if we had that type of training as far as the teacher being trained in a multisensory approach to reading and to teaching reading and spelling. It will help all kids, not just kids with dyslexia. That's the barrier. It's like it can help all kids, not just the ones who are struggling. So that type of program should really be in every school. That could help out with all children who are starting off learning how to read. So where I see it sometimes, I still see that we have a long way to go, unfortunately, in 2021.
It kind of sounds
I agree.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it kind of sounds like, you know, when you talked about earlier with the fact that in a lot of urban areas that this is still something in which you're trying to, you know, get the word out there and to get help. You know, on top of it, it seems that, you know, on top of violence, on top of other things, you would think that something like this, you know, can help turn around a lot of those things, especially if that person can get help, understand, for them certain things that they may not be able to understand, and maybe continue on in education. And, you know, it's like one thing begets another, it seems almost. And it makes me wonder why this isn't something that more people are fighting on. Do you think that this should probably be something that a lot of local governments should probably start to zero in on in regards to helping, especially, you know, we want to help all of our kids, but especially kids in urban areas?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as we continue to do our research and our studies, there's a large prison of pipeline studies that have been done dealing with individuals that are going straight to prison and dealing with learning disabilities and dyslexia. So a lot of kids just get frustrated. They drop out. So, yes, it definitely should. We have to get it at the point of changing some laws, because in some school districts, dyslexia cannot even be stated on their IEP sometimes. That, thank God, is changing somewhat more. Where it can be now placed or identified, but sometimes some school districts before just couldn't identify it, but now those laws are changing, which is great, at least if the information is given where the parent will know, okay, your child has dyslexia, at least there's a word to identify it, and the child themselves will not feel that they're just dumb and slow and stupid. And then the parents also will have some more access and information to now what's going on with their child.
Okay. Now, I want to go back to a point that you mentioned, when it comes to teachers and being trained and being a college professor myself, because I teach mathematics myself, UDC, here at the University of District of Columbia. And, you know, and a lot of times I will get students that have those learning disabilities, a myriad of them. And there are times where I wonder, am I effectively teaching or lecturing on the subject matter? And for a person like myself, like, what would you recommend or what would you suggest, for myself as well as my colleagues, especially when it comes to those professional development days, how would we be able to prepare ourselves to be able to teach those with these disabilities?
Try to, because I'm a professor as well, and what I do is I try to incorporate all learning styles when I'm teaching, or as much as possible. I know a lot of our information is mainly lecture, but if we can incorporate videos, if we can incorporate anything hands-on, anything tactile that the students can get it, that's more helpful. It may, even as you as a college professor may be like, oh, this is too... this is too elementary if I present it to them this way or that way. But you never know, even as adults, how they incorporate information. And if something's more tactile, something more visual, something more, auditory, they may get it that way, especially if the students just seem like they're really having a hard time grasping a concept in the way that you're teaching it in that format.
Okay, I like that. Because just like you said, because I know for me, my thing is, if it's effective, then let's work with it. I don't care how elementary it may be or how advanced it may be. You know, my thing is, as long as the message gets across, it's just like what my man Eddie Griffin said one time. He said, who cares where the message came from? Did you get the message? That's all that matters. So my thing is, that's what, you know, like any means necessary. It's like, let's make sure that we properly, you know, like we properly educate those, you know, whoever they may be, whatever their backgrounds are or financial backgrounds are, whatever they are, is we want to make sure that the education is pushed. So I totally, totally agree with that. Totally.
Yeah. Because you never know who's in your class and, you know, how they – oftentimes, what I oftentimes start off my – each class that I teach, because I teach different subject areas sometimes, and I teach adults, so they're coming back to school to getting their associate's degree, and I'm maybe sometimes teaching their basic class level or their basic class and study skills. But I show actually, I was in the Fox 29 interview, local TV station here. They did an interview, and I often show that interview, and it basically talks about my struggles with dyslexia and things like that. And oftentimes, once I show that clip, a lot of my students identify, saying, that's me. I remember struggling. This is why they're coming back to school now. They're, 35, 40 years old. They're coming, they're just now starting their educational journey and trying to start back in school because they struggled so much when they were in high school or tried to attempt college. But now they're more mature in trying to attempt this thing again, but they know, they identify with that struggle. And also the transparency. I let them know, you're not looking at a perfect professor. You're looking at someone who struggled through her educational journey majority of her life, but I'm here now to pour out what I've been given.
Wow. Yeah.
I know we touched on it briefly, but I want to make sure throughout the evening to mention it. We're speaking with Dr. Tracy Johnson, author of Journey of Hope, an Everyday Guide for Adults with Dyslexia, available on Amazon and also at our website at vesselsofhopevessels.com. You know, the hardest thing I think that for anyone to do is to write a book, because you have to start, and then you have to have, you know, the subject matter, and then wrap it up. So in doing this book, if for the folks out there, you know, if you could share with us a little bit the process for you in getting this book out to us, and what do you hope for those who go and buy this book, what do you hope that they get out of it?
My hope is really they get what they need out of it. It's a book written for dyslexic adults, and I know that journey. I live it still today. So it's just some tips and tools in there really to help them through life, dealing with everyday life. Some dyslexics are not identified. They were never identified, but they know they struggle with it. Some were identified and now they're adults. Because I say all the time, okay, once you're out of school, meaning high school, if you go off to college, great. But now what? We're still dyslexic. We still have to deal with life. So there's a lot more information out there for children, but there's nothing for adults. So I really wanted to tap into that area, saying, okay, we're still dyslexic, although we're adults. How do we get through this thing called life? So that's what the book is really there for, getting what they need out of the book, even if it's one chapter, one page, one inspirational encouragement quote. Anything that you get out of that book, I did my job. I did what I was planning, you know, really set out to do. The process through it, oh, God. It took me, I don't know how, I was still working and doing stuff with Bethel and still trying to write this book. It took me so, and I got so frustrated at one point, I was like, forget it, I'm done. No one needs this. No one's going to read it. They don't know I was doing it anyway. So I got so tired at, like, just the frustration and getting through it. And I was working with the book. I want to call her my co-author, which is my 82-year-old tutor. We worked together. We both got frustrated probably with each other. But we finally got it done. And so many people review and add input. It was driving us both crazy. Even till the end when it was going to be released, it was a totally different cover than what's there now. And so someone right. else said, oh, the cover you had, that's not right. I'm like, are you kidding me? So,
wow.
But it's finally out there. And blood, sweat, and tears, literally blood, sweat, and tears, but it's out there. And my hope and my prayer is really that it's a blessing to somebody's life, anybody's life, that even if it's one person, two, it was worth it. It was definitely worth it because, again, I know the struggle of living with it, and I know the struggle of dealing with it on a daily basis. Although, you know, the accomplishments that I was blessed to have, I still deal with dyslexia every day. So that's my encouragement to share that with someone else and just really to give them the hope that they need and encouragement that they need and let them really know that they're not alone. That the isolation mm-hmm. sometimes of dealing with dyslexia is horrible because it feels like we're always hiding. We don't, you know, want to know let anyone to know that because we're feeling incompetent, we're feeling like we're less than and all those types of things. I don't want anyone feeling that way. That was my desire, even starting with Vessels of Hope. I didn't want anyone going through this journey and feeling like they're alone.
Because I was about to make mention of that, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was about to ask, you know, for those that may be struggling with some learning disabilities but maybe are a little bit hesitant in maybe, I don't know, getting tested or whatever the case may be, what would be your words of encouragement to say, you know what, if you feel that, you know, that it's just, you know, it's just a situation where you just can't get through, because, again, you're going to have those who are stubborn. You know, you have those that, you know, battle with illiteracy and have gone through mm-hmm. it for years. And, you yeah. know, they just said, you know what, I'm just going to, you know, fake my way through. I don't want nobody to know because, they, you know, and for them it's an embarrassment. So,
absolutely.
You know, so that. You know, so that would be, you know, like, you know, what would be the thing that you would say to someone and say, you know what, I see that you may be struggling, you know, like what would say, you know what, like you might want to get tested, but just aren't just too stubborn to do it. Like, what would you say to them?
Do it for your own sanity. Do it mm-hmm. for your own well-being and your own health. Because like I say, it does not just affect us academically. It affects
yeah.
everything you do in life. It affects you emotionally. I talk about even in the book, how it deals with our relationships. It deals with every aspect of our life because it does hit an emotional core and a psychological core in dealing with dyslexia. So get it done for your own sanity and for your own mental health. Do it for yourself, if not for anyone else, so that you know you're not dumb, you're not stupid, and you're not smart. Do it for yourself. I know it may be painful sometimes. Some of my dyslexic friends talk about sometimes they had to see therapy dealing with it and things like that. But just even if it's not therapy, if you need to get it into a group, there's a lot of support groups on social media now. I mean, go to my Vessels of Hope Facebook page. We also mm-hmm. do an adult dyslexic support group through our International Dyslexia Association, our Pennsylvania branch. We're doing it virtually now. You can absolutely join that. We're having a session next week or this week coming up. So just come in even if you don't want to say anything. You can just sit there and listen. So you know that you're not by yourself.
I'm kind of glad you brought that up because that reminds me of a question that I had. Right now, of course, with COVID, there are a lot of people who are learning from home. And a lot of people who we are saying that are falling between the cracks, those who are not getting the mm-hmm. attention that they need to get. Is something mm-hmm. like this right now worrying you that this could set the strides made with trying to get help to those with dyslexia? Do you worry about the things that are going on right now pushing a lot of that back?
Yes, definitely. We were talking about that, and I believe that's where we're going to be talking about in our adult support group topic this week. We're actually talking about how COVID has affected us more, because I know with me, I am extremely drained and tired when I finish work virtually now, because I'm reading more, a lot more than I did. And then I know I strive verbally. I'll talk for hours. I'm an ordained minister, so I'll talk for hours. But sitting down there reading and typing, oh my gosh, I'm drained. I am drained because it's affecting the area of my brain that I struggle the most. So this is actually really a lot more taxing because we're on the computer reading and writing a lot more than we did that when we can verbalize things. So absolutely. And it's setting a lot of kids back. So many kids that have learning challenges, learning disabilities, this is really not a good setting for them, because again, they thrive in interacting with others, and sitting there on a computer screen for hours is really detrimental to them. In fact, my fiance's daughter, she's 9, and she's dyslexic and ADHD. She's having a horrible time. Just sitting there, I feel bad, but this is the only way that they're getting somewhat of what they need, and it's setting these kids back so much. And I understand we definitely need to keep them safe as possible, but we're setting them up, you know, because sometimes they push these kids on still, and they're not grasping anything. Yeah. It's hard.
Yeah, I can definitely understand, because I've been constantly hearing about the data and the percentages, and just like you said, you know, a lot of these kids, you know, again, you're falling behind, you know, and it's just getting worse and worse as time goes on. And, you know, again, you have those districts that are trying to push the schools to be open. I understand, you know, but I'm also a proponent of the person that's saying, like, I want to make sure that we're safe as we're trying to go back into our classrooms. So, but you're right. It's definitely one of those things where, again, they're struggling. And you may not know this, but I definitely want to ask you, you know, would there be a certain type of technology that could be used to maybe try to alleviate that? Is it a thing that, you know, again, we should just make sure that we give them the strict face-to-face, or is there a way that we could maybe find a way to maybe create a hybrid between online and face-to-face? Like, what would be your suggestions, if you can think of any?
For safety measures, I think a hybrid would be fine, because, again, with the safety measures in place and the child could have that one-on-one. The kids with dyslexia and learning disabilities, they really do thrive more interaction face-to-face, seeing someone physically. Virtually, if they just had a couple of days, but I think the long stretch of the Monday through Friday is taxing on them. It's extremely taxing because then they're looking at that screen, and that's just not the way their brain is wired. It really is more so that face-to-face interaction.
Right.
But I think the hybrid model could possibly work to ease them back, you know, to a more place of structure or normalcy. Because a lot of the kids with dyslexia, they need repetition and they need structure.
Right. I totally agree. Because again, you do see kids being on a computer or PC or somewhere, and they're on for hours. And you know, with me being a part of that as well, you know, trying to lecture on an online platform, and I'm like you, after a few hours, I'm done. I'm mentally done. I really shouldn't say this as a professor, but a lot of times I'm thinking like, all right, you know what, let me just give you a homework and exam now, and then when you're done, just send it back to me, I'll grade it, and then just call it a semester. I'm like, how are you going to say that? Like, a man of education, you know, a lot of times I want to do that, you know, but I totally understand where you're coming from. After just a couple of hours.
So we went into education because we really wanted to pour into students. It's hard to do online.
It is.
It really is. that energy that we get, the facial expressions, even the impromptu information that we can give them, it doesn't float right on a virtual platform.
Totally get it. Totally understand.
Dr. Johnson, I know that you go out and you, as we said before, you do a lot of speaking engagements, and you reflect on your own personal journey and reach out to individuals hoping that they can write their own story. Have you ever had a moment when you have done these speaking engagements and maybe a parent has come up to you who has a child that they didn't know, you know, could possibly have dyslexia, and it kind of opened their eyes, or a person who was kind of on the fence about going on, and your speech pretty much, you know, has given them a lot of motivation to continue forward? Have you had interactions with people after these speeches?
Yes, all the time. And I'm so grateful when they, you know, feel comfortable in sharing what's going on in their child's life or in their life, and that story or my story helped them in some kind of way. And often, like, what I can do, if it depends on where I'm speaking, if I can share resources that I've found helpful with them, I often do that. And a lot of those resources, I share them the book as well. So it talks, you know, I give them information about, you know, possible websites to go to, you know, where they can get directed for the proper tutoring, those types of things. So I'm so grateful, number one, that they came to any place that I was there to share my story, and they too were given hope that they needed for their child, or for themselves. Absolutely. Oftentimes when I speak, that actually happens. And sometimes most of those parents are there just because they are searching. And they've tried numerous of things. They've tried to help with their child, but they never were able to get the right answers.
Okay. All right. But I want to put a little bit of attention on the documentary that you were on.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to speak of your experience, because you were on Journey into Dyslexia on HBO.
Yes.
And I want you to please take us through the experience of talking to the audience through HBO, through, you know, the Journey through Dyslexia. Like, how was that experience?
Oftentimes, still even to this day, sometimes when I share my story, there's a pain that's attached to it. And I was when I was a part of that documentary, I was still in college, actually. So
okay.
I was actually still really struggling at that time. I received all the help and a lot of help in college, but I was still in college at the time when that documentary was filmed. But still, every time I still remember the struggle and the low self-esteem, the depression, all those things that I was going through as a child because of my learning difference, it still sometimes brings up that pain. It's that soft spot where I still cry because, again, my desire is that no one goes through that, because there's so much more information that's out here available. Why are we going through this? Why is the individual going through this when, if we just get them the access they need, they don't have to feel the same pain and that same hurt that I still sometimes often do. Yeah.
Right. Okay. But I must say, you know, we do appreciate that the work that you have done and, you know, the struggles that you have gone through, because what that has allowed, and I know you've mentioned this already, that it is showing someone else that even though they've struggled and even though they have gone through the pain and just gone through the hardships, and somebody is dealing with that same affliction and is saying, you know what, I can do that too. I can get through it.
Absolutely.
You know, because, you know, so somebody else just needs that picture or that reference. And say, you know what? Like, if they can do it, I know I can do it too. You know,
that is,
so
that
it's,
is the
it's,
desire.
Yeah.
That is my desire. But again, it's like, and to know how many dyslexic, successful, highly successful individuals there are out there. Einstein was dyslexic. There's a host of people. Whoopi Goldberg is so, it's a list of people that are highly successful that are dyslexic. And if, again, average to above average intelligence. There's nothing wrong. It does not, it has nothing to do with your intellectual ability because you're bright, you're smart, and you're intelligent. And then for them to really know that, because I always often talk about an internal dialogue. We have to repeat that to ourselves, because I think the negative often outweighs the positive that people say. So we find, really repeat those positive things. I'm smart. I'm intelligent. I may not be able to do this, but I can do that, and I can do it extremely well. And hone in really on your gifts. Really, how, whatever you need to do to continue to cultivate the gifts that you have.
Right.
Really, focusing on those things. Yes, but the thing is, we have to think about it. Everyone has weaknesses in something.
All right. All right. Well, I definitely must mention, you know, because my boss, our boss, Ms. Spontaneous, she wanted us to let you know that she will have you to return, all right, have you to return later this year for part two. You know, she says that she loves you and that she is truly proud of you, you know. So she definitely wants to bring you back on because, again, this is something that, you know, it's bigger than one show. It's definitely bigger than one show. So hopefully I'm not extending myself because it might be a part three. I'm just saying. But, you know, so you will be brought back on for part two, definitely. So, you know, so because, again, you know, this is something that it really is an ongoing discussion. It really is, you know, so, you know, so and having
affects,
someone
like we said,
that.
Like we said, it affects so many people. You're absolutely right.
Yep, and I just got a good text from her saying, yep, exactly. So she's in agreement with that. So, yeah, so we're definitely going to have you on for part two. And that she loves you, you know, your sisterly love. So, you know, so she's happy that she's able to finally get you on for this to actually talk about, you know, dyslexia and, you know, and learning disabilities. Because, again, you know, you don't have too many people to mention this, and especially when it comes to the minority community. So we definitely want to thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for allowing me to share.
We went almost this entire hour, and we did not ask her to give us a personal story about Spontaneous that we may not know.
That's right. That's right. Great segue. Great segue. Yes, we want to know.
So glad that text was sent before this question.
It was right on time, right? It was perfect.
I know Dr. Johnson would be nice. So is there anything about Spawn that no FX usually asks the question, how do you know Spawn? But if there's anybody that knows her, I know that you know her. Is there anything about her that we should know?
From birth. Yes. She was second mommy. I often talk about my older brother because, like, I'm the youngest. I'm the baby. So we have a brother that's in between my sister and I, and when my mom would go out and she would have to watch us, we would go, oh, no, Purple Rain again. She would talk to Purple Rain all the time. All the time. Yeah. My brother and I would act out the songs after a while, so.
I am going to ask,
boy,
how long has it been since you've seen Purple Rain?
A long time. long time. When she left to Japan and all those other areas where she lived, we never watched it again. So, no. You know, we were free.
Okay. I was about to ask if you can act it out.
Or you being a guest on this show is a DVD copy of Purple Rain, so I won't do that.
Parting gift frame. Because I was showing up about to ask, like, if there was ever a scene you wanted to act out, you know, please feel free. You know, we've had our time.
I'll be sure to give that back to you.
Yeah, okay. Oh, boy.
So I guess in closing tonight for those out there, wherever you go, what is the one main bit of advice that you always give to those who are going through the same things that you did when you were in school but have not yet made those steps to seek out help or to seek out the things that can help them? What's the one big point of advice that you always give?
Never give up hope. Really, that's always been my drive. Never, ever give up that hope. And connect with as many parents or teachers that may have the information that your child needs. Find, hopefully you listen to this broadcast or connected with someone on social media or something that knows something about dyslexia, where that can begin your own journey, because every one of us have our own journey in dealing with this. But connect with someone who may know someone else. That's oftentimes how the information is given, by word of mouth, and how others really find out about it is through word of mouth. So I'm hoping that something was said tonight that really, you know, stuck with you, like maybe that's me or maybe that's my child, and really start to connect with someone that you find on social media or in your area where you live that may know some information about it, and where you can start your own journey in getting the help and the support that you need in dealing with it.
Oh.
But my take on it is never, ever give up hope. Absolutely.
Well, you are proof of that. You never gave up hope, and
not at all.
As the kids say, you know, start from here to there. I mean, it's definitely to go and do well educationally, to get a 4.0 word. There is a lot of people who are not suffering from dyslexia who are able to go and get a 4.0.
No.
And the two things that
you
have, definitely it is inspirational, and I it has opened my eyes, especially to I kind of call it it's not a hidden problem, but one that is plaguing, you know, areas here in which we still need a lot of help. And I'm thankful that you were on tonight to talk about this, because it's definitely opened up my eyes to this situation, and I hope that we are able to work on it more for those that need it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We keep fighting the fight, so every dyslexic individual see that light and that, and really that gift that they have, and they really start to cultivate that. Because the thing is, they're gifts to society, they're gifts to the world. Their brain was really built to think outside the box.
Well, I agree.
And once again, for all of you out there, Dr. Tracy Johnson's book, Journey of Hope, An Everyday Guide for Adults with Dyslexia, available on Amazon, also available on her webpage at vesselsofhopevessels.com. She can be found on Twitter and Facebook, Vessels of Hope, and definitely go get it. Like I said, I know all of you have Amazon. All of you, if you really want to go for someone, go pick up this book. Definitely go and read it. So with that, yes, thank you so much, Dr. Johnson. We can't wait to have you back again.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you both.
And with that, I will turn that over to my friend FX with some closing words.
Well, the closing words would be this, and definitely just reiterating what Dr. Johnson was just saying, is never give up hope. Keep pushing. Keep striving. Because just like you said, LeVar, you got some who are, they don't have any problems, but just won't even try to get a 4.0. Won't even got to try to get a 3.0. They're just like, you know what, I'm just going to coast through and I'm fine. But you know what? That's like, you know what? Let them do what they're going to do. But those that, you know, are really working. And one thing that I've often said to my students, and I've said this all the time, is I can trust a C student better than I can trust an A student. You know why? Because with the C student, I can see them trying and pushing, and they're falling, but they're not staying down. They're getting right back up. And I know eventually I'm like, you know what? They're going to get it, and they're going to go on to do great things. I already know it because they're fighting through it early. But the ones with the A's, and they're used to getting that, as soon as they get that first bad grade, oh, my God, well, I get this. Can I do extra credit again? I'm like, no, we're not doing that. I'm sorry. No, we're not doing that. But that's always been my message. But, again, thank you for being on. I appreciate your message of hope. And, again, thoughts and prayers go to everybody that has listened to us as we are performing these shows and the PLM radio exclusives. And, again, Dr. Johnson, please don't go anywhere because the next song, this next song, our song that's going to end our show for tonight, will be dedicated to the late gospel legend Bishop Rance Allen, who unfortunately passed October 31st of last year from a medical procedure at Heartland ProMedica in Sylvania, Ohio. Known for his gospel hit, Something About the Name of Jesus, formed the Rance Allen Group with his brothers Tom and Steve in 1969. So for all those that are looking for the prayers and looking for the love and definitely want to give the praise to Most High, this song is definitely for you. And again, on behalf of LeVar, Dr. Johnson, I am DJ FX. We hopefully will enjoy the show and that we entertained you on this Sunday, March 21st of this year, 2021. That's it for us, y'all. Peace out. Love each other.
You need to know that there is something about the name Jesus. It's the sweetest name I know. You know, if you put the name Jesus in your mouth, it's better than a credit card in your pocket. If you do. Come on, y'all. People say I'm crazy. name of Jesus. Every knee is going to have to bow. You don't have to wait till the fire comes. You can clap your hands and praise Him now.
Something, y'all, yeah, yeah. Something about